Welcome back to this episode of the Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Trent?
I'm doing pretty good. This three-day weekend is really, I enjoyed myself. Didn't have much to do. I mean, we got to go out and watch the basketball games this weekend, both the men and the women. Just hung out, really. And I mean, I guess, because we're both on the soccer team, we had soccer lifting. So I haven't really done much except for chill. So it's been really nice weekend.
Yeah, it's been good to chill, hang out, and relax a little bit from the busy college schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I still got to do homework, but I'll get it done before classes.
Procrastination at its finest. That's what we do best.
All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about NFL football and the games that were played yesterday.
Yeah, the AFC and the NFC Conference Championship games. NFC was the Rams versus the Saints, and the AFC was the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New England Patriots. There's a lot of controversy there with officiating, both games going into overtime, so should be fun for Trent and I to talk a little bit about that game and our opinions on that.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Rams versus the Saints and the Patriots versus the Chiefs, both those games went into overtime. Rams beating the Saints 26-23 in overtime with a field goal. Then the Patriots beating the Chiefs in overtime 37-31. I mean, I didn't get to see the Rams-Saints game, but watching the Patriot-Chiefs game, I mean, it really looked Patriots game all the way and up until the fourth quarter. It was Patrick Mahomes really got that offense going and clicking, and that's when it started getting tight, getting really interesting. I mean, they came up and it was 31-31 going into overtime. I mean, Patriots, they won the coin toss, got the ball, scored when the Chiefs defense needed to make that stop. They didn't get the stop, and the Patriots, again, for how many years in a row are third year in a row are going and being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, one thing I want to talk about a little bit is the fact that the Chiefs have the number one offense in the league, and they didn't even get a chance to even have the ball in overtime. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you feel about that rule? Do you think that that's something that the NFL should change? Because, I mean, Chiefs didn't even have a chance. Patrick Mahomes, one of the uprising quarterbacks in the league, didn't even have a chance to have the ball to help his team get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You know, is that something where the NFL should look into being more like college, where each team gets a possession? Or do you think the NFL should keep it how it is?
I mean, we talked about this a little bit last night after the games, and I think they get a chance to score. I mean, they score a touchdown. I think, yeah, they get the ball one time. If they score a touchdown, then I feel whoever makes it after, they both have a chance. Whoever scores has the most points after they both have had a possession, at least one possession in overtime. Because, like, I mean, yeah, their defense, I mean, they were consistently stopping the Patriots in that overtime. First, second down, and third down was killing them. And then, I mean, Chiefs really, their offense was clicking there late in the game, and they didn't even get a chance to get their hands on the ball, like you said. And I feel like if each team had a chance, I mean, yeah, it's not the rule, but we're going into ifs here, but if each team's, I mean, it could have been a different game. I mean, Chiefs go down. If they don't score, yeah, it's over. But they didn't even get a chance to score. Yeah. I mean, in the Rams-Saints game, I mean, they both had a chance to score, and the Rams just got that field goal off to win. I mean, that to me, they both had their chance, and the Rams capitalized on their chance that was given to them.
Yeah, so in that Rams-Saints game, let's talk about that miss pass interference call. I mean, I think watching the replay over and over and over again, as one of my friends is a very huge Saints fan, was crying last night about the game. Yeah. He was definitely hitting the wide receiver early. I mean,
you could be like, well, who knows if he would have caught that ball, but I didn't watch the game, but I watched that clip because everyone, it was blowing up on Twitter. Oh, this was a pass interference. But he didn't even, one, the corner never turned his head to look for where the ball was at and just ran straight through him. And, I mean, yeah, does it affect the game? Yeah, and they would have had a first and 10.
First and 10 with a minute 45 left in the game, mm-hmm. and the Patriots only having, or not the Patriots, I'm sorry, the Rams only having one timeout. They could have taken that time all the way down and given their field goal kicker a chance to win the game. You know, as a Saints fan, you would like to think that the Saints kicker would have hit that field goal, but yeah. we obviously don't know what the Saints kicker would have done during that time. As a Saints fan, it's definitely frustrating. And in Sean Payton's interview after the game, he said he just got off the phone with the league office, and the league office admitted that to blowing the call, admitting that it should have been a pass interference call. But there was also a lot of questionable calls earlier in the game that maybe could have gone against the Saints as well. Mm-hmm. The officials are doing their best. You know, sometimes they struggle and they don't make the right calls, but I believe something as obvious as that. I mean, the second I saw it happening, I knew that it was pass interference, and I screamed out loud, pass interference, and I couldn't believe that they couldn't call it. And you could just see Sean Payton just in the referee's ear over and over and over again, just continuing to try and get the referee to throw the flag. And that's another thing, is should instant replay within 2 minutes be able to look at a play and realize that a foul occurred? You know, I think something like that would be too hard. I think it would slow the game way down, which is something like baseball, where baseball is struggling to try and speed the game up because they're struggling to have people watch the games. So, you know, it's one of those things that the NFL is definitely going to have to evaluate, because these were two very big games that had questionable calls in them, and, you know, in my opinion, cost the Saints a chance to be playing for a Super Bowl championship right now. Instead, they're going to be playing in the Pro Bowl, the players that qualified for that, and then sitting on the couch watching the Super Bowl. And I know Drew Brees and Sean Payton are just going to be biting their tongues during that entire Super Bowl, because, man, oh, man, they know that they should be there right now. And I feel for them. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, just what you've been saying, the instant replay, yeah, that would be a smart idea. But then, I mean, a part of all sports is human error. I mean, every official is a human. Yeah, they miss things. Sometimes it's blatant that they miss things, but they miss it. And, I mean, this one didn't go the way a lot of people wanted it to go. And, yeah, it's not ideal, but it happens.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, you see it in every other sport. And that's why I think that the NFL really isn't going to do anything to change. But, you know, I feel like that's something that the head of officials is definitely going to be talking to that crew about. But, you know, next time, I think the head of officials is really going to sit there and have to really think about who they're going to put in charge of a big game like that. Because as being the head of officials, you're going to need your best crews out there in those games. The mm-hmm. crews that have done the best jobs throughout the year and that are going to not miss a call like that. And I feel bad for the referees, because they're going to have to live with that. And I'm sure they realize now that, you know, they blew that call and it definitely hurt the Saints. And I'm one that, you know, I like to give the referees the benefit of the doubt. And I definitely don't always agree with what the referee has to say. And I just feel for the referee. I feel for the NFL. I feel for the Saints. And to be honest with you, I feel for the Rams a little bit, because I think a lot of America's thinking that they don't really belong to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they don't really deserve to be in there, because there was that missed call and they ended up going into overtime and winning. But like I said, it happens. I mean, yeah, it's a big blow, but we'll just see what happens February 3rd, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Atlanta, Georgia, the good old Los Angeles Rams versus the New England Patriots. Seems like every year it's just who is the New England Patriots going to be facing in the Super Bowl. So as a Colts fan, it drives me crazy seeing the New England Patriots in there every year. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. So
coming up, we'll talk about indoor tracks meet that they had Friday instead of Saturday because of the big snowstorm that was expected that did come this weekend. Then we will talk about the women's and the men's basketball games and how they did on Saturday versus Transylvania. We're going to take a short minute and a half break. You're listening to Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
In the tradition of student-driven media at Bluffton University, on your PC, your radio, and your mobile device, this is WBWHLP Bluffton. 96.1 The Wit. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back to the Beaver Dam. I'm your host, Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We just talked about the NFL and the two games that happened yesterday and a little bit about our takes on how the games went and how some of the calls that kind of blew up on social medias after the games and what people thought there. Now we're just going to jump right into Bluffton Athletics, and the indoor track team traveled to Tiffin, Ohio on Friday night where they competed there. The meet was Friday, as I said, just to beat that big old storm that was coming in on Saturday. And for the women, in the distance medley relay team, Jennifer Mattson, Tammy Groff, Bailey Barrington, and Alexis Cash took home a victory after 4,000 meters of racing, running a time of 13 minutes 28.69 seconds, 7 seconds in front of the number two team, Ohio Northern. Adding to the great day for the distance crew, Barrington grabbed the first place in the 800-meter run with a time of 2 minutes 30.36 seconds. Cash also added a fifth-place finish in the 3,000-meter run with a time of 11 minutes 7.9 seconds in a field of 20 runners.
So, junior Tori Bowen left the Beavers throwers with a fourth-place finish in pole vault. She cleared 3.36 meters, which is about 11 feet, on her second attempt before failing to get over 3.51 meters, which is 11 feet 6 inches. Leading the in throws, sophomore Stephanie Fox finished 7th place with a shot put of 10.67 meters and 35 feet. And now on to the men's side for a little bit.
The men's side was highlighted by junior Connor Gullick, who placed 3rd overall in the 800-meter run with a time of 2 minutes 6.01 seconds in a field of 26 runners. That race came after a 9th-place finish in the mile as he ran a time of 4 minutes 41.94 seconds. Also earning a top 10 finish in the distance crew was junior Dakota Frost, who placed 9th in the 3,000-meter run with a time of 9 minutes 29.64 seconds.
So leading the sprint squad was sophomore Omar Warlick, who finished 17th out of 55 with a time of 23.54 seconds in the
200-meter run.
And the 200-meter run. And he also finished 11th place in long jump with a 20 feet and 1 inch jump. Rounding out the meet as it in the 4x400 relay as the team of Brandon James, William Bakeman, Noah Judd, and Golick fashioned a time of 3 minutes and 38 seconds in the 4x4. Bluffton's next meet will be this Friday and Saturday on a 2-day meet at the University of Findlay. A mix of field events and distance events will be Friday, and then the remaining field events and more of the short distance events are scheduled to start at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
This track and field team, I mean, it was only their second meet, and their first meet was over a month ago, and I mean, it doesn't look like they really lost anything. I mean, we had big Christmas break, and I think they had practices and stuff they were supposed to do when they were on break, and then we come back and they're right back to it. I mean, running well, throwing well, pole vaulting, jumping well. I mean, this team last year during the spring, they really did really well, and then even some of our track runners, our distance runners, are part of our cross-country team who really really impressed me this past fall. And I mean, they're just picking up, and I mean, it's only their second meet, and they got a whole rest of the season ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, these indoor meets are kind of to get their legs back underneath them. You know, during the wintertime, it's really hard, especially being here in Ohio, and you get a lot of snow, and the weather gets really cold, and sometimes it's hard to go and run on a treadmill because, you know, the weather isn't the greatest outside, and it's hard to be able to go out and run, so you have to run on a treadmill. So you have to be dedicated, and I think that's what a lot of these events at the beginning are for, because if you are working on getting better every day, then you're preparing for conference, and then you're preparing for the All-Ohio meet, and you're preparing for nationals and different stuff like that. So I think these events, and, you know, Finley's not too far away for the team, so they're not having to travel super far to be able to compete. So I think being able for this track team to go against some top D3 schools and even some D2 schools is really going to help build confidence for this track team, knowing that, you know, they competed against some Division II athletes, and I think they have a really good chance of, you know, competing there in conference. And I think they're projected fourth in conference, both boys and girls, but I honestly could see them having a chance to compete for the title. So definitely don't count this track team out, because, you know, with track meets, it's whoever shows up that day. And this team is talented, and if they keep improving every day, I really like their odds to go and push Rose Holman and Transylvania and Hanover. Those top three teams always just seem to be up there, and I like our odds for our track team to go and push them to their limits.
Yeah, and we wish all of our runners and throwers and field events, all our track team good luck this weekend as they go just 20 or so minutes down the road to Finley as they compete this weekend. We wish them all luck. Now on to the women's basketball team. Bluffton University women's basketball team lost a high-scoring affair to HCAC leading Transylvania on Saturday, January 19th, by a score of 75-67. The loss dropped the Beavers to 6-11 on the season, 4-6 in the HCAC, and Transylvania improved to 15-2 and 9-1 in the Heartland Conference. The visiting team started the game off in rapid-fire fashion as they took an early 7-0 lead following a layup by Shelby Boyle with 8:18 remaining in the first quarter. Junior TJ Mills, who helped the Beavers cut the deficit to 1 point after back-to-back triples, made the score 12-11 with 6:20 to play in the quarter. Transylvania responded with a 10-0 run en route to a 27-15 advantage after the first quarter.
Freshman Brianna Gillick scored on three straight possessions early in the second quarter to help cut the deficit to 11, while Nora Heminger drilled back-to-back three-pointers in a span of 45 seconds, but the Beavers were still down 39-29 with 5 minutes left in the period, as Transylvania continued to show just great offense. Bluffton would finish the corner on a 12-6 run and only trailed 45-41 thanks to a Brianna Graham three-pointer with 2 seconds left in the opening half.
LJ Olverson hit two quick layups at the beginning of the third quarter, tying the score at 45, with 9:10 remaining in the third quarter. However, Transylvania quickly responded with an 11-0 spurt, capped off by a Boyle three-point bomb, which made the score 56-45 with 6:11 left on the clock. The rest of the quarter went back and forth as Bluffton trailed 66-54 at the end of the third.
So Transylvania began the fourth quarter on a 6-0 run, extending the lead to 72-54 with about 8.5 minutes left remaining. Olverson responded with 6 points of her own as she dominated the paint to make the score 72-60 with about 3.5 minutes remaining. The Beavers continued to battle, capping a 13-0 run with a Mills three-pointer that pulled Bluffton within five with 39 seconds remaining. The Beavers fought and clawed all 40 minutes, but came up short as the Pioneers moved to 9-1 with their 75-67 victory.
Mills led the Beavers with 16 points, going 4 of 6 from the 3-point line. Olverson scored 14 points on a red-hot 7 of 9 from the floor. Gillig added 12 points, grabbing a team-high 8 rebounds and also dishing out a team-high 4 assists. Graham chipped in 9 points off the bench as she went 3 of 7 from distance. Sophomore Abby Parkins pulled down 6 rebounds for the home team.
Transylvania was led by Boyle as she scored 25 points, going 9 of 15 from the field, including 5 of 9 from 3-point land, as she also had 6 assists. Cecilia Klein bucked 18 points, going 6 of 8 from the field. Otero dominated the defensive end with 13 rebounds and a team-high 4 steals off the bench. Ashton Woodward checked in with 12 points for the visiting team. Bluffton shot 28 of 64 from the field, making a 43.8% of its shots, while Transylvania went 25 of 57, shooting 43.9% from the field. The Beavers connected on 10 of 23 from outside the from the three-point line, shooting 43.5%, while Transy was 13 from 32, shooting 40%. Bluffton out-rebounded Transy 40-28 and also had more assists than Transy, leading the battle 17-16.
Also, going through our team stats, our bench outscored their bench, but it was really sorry, I have to sneeze. It was really for Transylvania. Boyle was out there, and in the first half, she really went off in that first half, and no one could really shut her down. I mean, she cooled down a little bit in the second half, but just those spurts where Transy was going up on runs like 11 points back-to-back, 10 points back-to-back, was really what hurt the Beavers.
That Transy team was pretty impressive. You know, that was one of the first games I could actually go see of the women's team. And Transy, the way they shot the ball and played as a team, both on the offensive and defensive side, was very impressive to me. You know, our Beavers team, they're young, and I think on Saturday, we only started one freshman, but I think at times we were starting two freshmen. Compared to their game against Transylvania early in the year, where the score was 74-38, the Beavers scored 41 points in the first half. So that just shows that this team is improving. This team is playing with a lot more confidence, and they're also getting a lot more experience. This team is going to be someone that the other teams in the conference are going to have to worry about if they have a chance to make this conference tournament. Because the fact that they improved on a 74-38 score to a 75-67 score, I like this Beavers team, and I think Brianna Gillick's getting more experience. Emma Saltzman's getting more experience. Mm-hmm. Nora Heminger is only a sophomore. TJ Mills is only a junior. You know, they don't really have very many seniors on this team, mm-hmm. so this team is going to be together for a little bit, and I really like the odds of this team going out and competing for a conference title if given the chance to make it into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. We've already seen a big jump and improvement on this team throughout the course of just this year. And, I mean, really a lot of the girls are back again next year and even the year after. So just this year to next year to next year, like you said, they're going to be a force to reckon with in upcoming seasons and even towards the end of this season. I mean, we're about probably halfway through the basketball season. They're not done till end of February, I believe. But, I mean, just the improvement that we have seen throughout the first half of this year is really incredible. And, I mean, we talked to Coach Shuttler at the beginning of the year. I mean, Ty and I did. We had an interview with him. And, I mean, last year it was really the three seniors that were on the team that really led the way and did a lot for the team. And he said he's not putting anything on just one or two singular players. It's a team effort, and they're all going to get better as a team, and they're all going to work as a team. And we've seen how this has happened throughout the course of the start of this year.
Yeah, so I really like these Beavers, and even if they don't have a chance to make it to the conference tournament this year, I think the experience that they're going to get this year is going to help them, and only losing, I believe, two seniors is really going to allow this team to bring back a core group for next year to compete. And right now, it looks like they are in the conference tournament.
You know, yeah, they're sitting at the sixth place spot right now, just behind Anderson, who's also 4-6 in the conference, and then fourth is Mount St. Joseph at 6-4, then Hanover, who's 8-2, then Rose Holman, 9-1, and Transylvania, who is also 9-1. So I mean, on Saturday they played the top team in the conference, and they only lost by a little bit, a couple, 10 or so.
8 points.
8 points. So, I mean, right there, just because they're sitting sixth, I mean, they're still playing really good basketball.
Yeah, I like this women's team, and right now they're in the conference tournament, and hopefully they can stay in the conference tournament and even maybe try and push up to maybe even the 5 or even the 4 seed.
Yep. The women's team will travel to Earlham College this Wednesday, the 23rd, for a 7:30 tip-off. Their next home game will be Wednesday, the 30th, as they host Mount St. Joseph at 7:30. So come out and make sure you support your Bluffton women's basketball team. And we wish them luck as they travel to Earlham on Wednesday.
Good luck, Beavers.
Now on to the men's. The Bluffton University men's basketball team fought off Transylvania University for a huge 63-52 Heartland Conference win in the Sommer Center on Saturday. The Beavers never trailed by more than 4 points during the contest as they earned their way to a well-played victory.
A layup by freshman Jameel Crosby with about 4.5 minutes left in the game put Bluffton up 54-50, but the Beavers went scoreless for the next 2 minutes before Andrew Renner found Desmond Brown on a slick back cut to the hoop that sealed the outcome to put the Beavers up 61-52 with about a minute 10 left in the game. Bluffton improved to 13-4 and 7-3 in the Heartland Conference, while Transylvania fell to 10-7 and 7-3 in the conference. A low-scoring first half came to a close when Cosby knocked down a pair of free throws line with 6 seconds remaining, giving the Beavers a 28-25 lead at the break.
An early Cosby layup in the second half extended Bluffton's lead to 30-25 with 11:45 left in the game. The Pioneers knotted the score at 41 with a pair of free throws by Spencer McKinney. The Beavers, however, did not budge, and a lay-in by Renner with 2 minutes to play would push the spread 58-51, ending any hopes of a miracle comeback by the Pioneers. Cosby led the way, dropping a game-high 17 points on 5 of 10 shooting from the field and 1-for-1 from behind the arc. He also came down with 5 rebounds in the victory. Junior Isaiah Taylor netted 16 points of his own, all of which came in the first half, going a very efficient 8 of 10 from the field. He also pulled down 4 rebounds as well. Renner struggled to find his stroke, but made up for it with 7 rebounds, 4 steals, and 3 assists. Brown and Brevin Dye chipped in with 9 and 7 apiece, while sophomore Ronnie James dolled up 4 dimes.
The Beavers shot 24-51 from the field for a 47.1% compared to 17-49 for the Pioneers, which was only 34.7% from the field. Bluffton was 3-for-9 from the three-point range for a 33.3% chance, while the Pioneers were 7-of-16, which was about 43.8% behind the three-point line. Pioneers had 15 turnovers compared to just 12 for the Beavers, and Bluffton led the rebounding battle 33-30. Trent, I'm not going to lie, Brevin Dye had a huge game for the Beavers. Aaron Rich picked up 2 fouls, 7 minutes into the game, they put in Mandel Ransall for a minute. He picked up an early foul, and Guy Neal was really forced to use his bench, and Brevin Dye brought in some big minutes. Mm-hmm. He played well. He got rebounds. He defended. I think Guy Neal might have found another guy to add to his bench and add into the rotation, especially if something like this happens and a big guy gets in a foul trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, really, this Bluffton team has really been playing at a really high and really top rate this entire season. I mean, looking at their record, I mean, they're 13-4 on the year, 7-3 in the conference. But they've really shown that they're here to play and they're here to win basketball games.
Guy Neal has this team playing amazing basketball. Those guys, ball's on the floor, they're going to be on the floor first. Loose ball, they're going for it. Rebound, you best believe there's going to be four Beavers going up for that rebound. And the Pioneers even tried to throw a full-court press at the Beavers, and the Beavers didn't budge. Andrew Renner was huge. Him and Ronnie James and Jameel Cosby all handled the press incredibly well. And you normally don't see that with a freshman, but Jameel Cosby played with a lot of poise in on Saturday's game. And I was impressed with the way the Beavers have played, because this is a team that is fired up and a team that is having fun playing the game of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, everything, ball's on the floor, they're going to get there. Ball's going out of bounds, they're going to hustle, they're going to get it. There's just so much hustle and work in this men's team. And I mean, they've also been they've been shooting really well. I mean, they were 47% shooting. So almost half of their shots that they're shooting are going in, and it's been the same way all year.
Yeah, I mean, this Transylvania team defeated Bluffton when they were down in Transylvania 65-62. And I remember the basketball guys coming back and they were frustrated because they led that entire game, mm-hmm. and some late turnovers kind of cost them the game. So I think they learned from those turnovers, handled the full court press incredibly well. And when that game was close in the end, instead of giving up a lead, they extended the lead to 11 points. And
I mean, looking here at the stats, turnover-wise, I mean, Bluffton had 12, Transylvania had 15, but points off turnovers, Bluffton also scored more off the turnovers. So that, I mean, you said they were frustrated in their first game against Transylvania because of late turnover mistakes, and it looks in this game they didn't really have any late turnovers to help Transylvania's team make the lead smaller, and that just Bluffton carried the game away.
Yeah, this conference is pretty strong this year for basketball, and our boys are sitting in third place in the conference with a 7-3 record, only behind Hanover and Rose Holman, which they have both defeated earlier in the year, and they have to face here again up in the future. Yeah, Bluffton losing to only Transylvania, Anderson, and Manchester this year. And I was at the Anderson game when it was at Anderson, and I don't think Anderson could have played a better game. And our boys hung in there and almost were able to pull off a victory. And everyone knows how hard it is to win on the road. This Bluffton basketball team, if they keep playing like this, I'm choosing them to win the conference right now.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Rose Holman play. I've seen Hanover play. I've seen Anderson play, who are all right now predicted to be in the conference. And I like our boys' odds, especially if they keep playing the type of basketball that they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. They've been playing really good basketball. And it hasn't just been lately. It's been all year round. So, they're halfway through. Their season ends the same time the women's season ends, but they've just been playing really good basketball, and hopefully they continue to play really good basketball, and they will be back in action this Wednesday where they host Earlham College Quakers in the Heartland Conference matchup. Tip-off in the Sommer Center, slated for 7:30. So come out and support your Beavers, and we wish them luck. I don't know if we will have that game on air for you on Wednesday. We will try to do our best, but schedule-wise, we don't know if our announcers can be there for that time at the game on Wednesday. So we wish the men luck. We wish the women luck. And then coming up this weekend, we also wish the
track
and field team luck as good luck as well. And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 961 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mazur, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We thank you for listening. 961 The Wit.
Roll Beef!